morning. It is time to get up with an absolute kickoff classic. Went right to the final play, complete with a controversial call. We had Tampa Tom, terrific. Could he be en route to his best season ever at age 44? His offense looks scary good, and so does he. But it was Dak, who was truly back and better than ever. Was that the best performance of his career? We're wall-to-wall on a Football Friday, which starts right now. Delighted you've chosen to get up with us. Oh, what a ball game we had ourselves last night, and we've got exactly the right crew to get into it here. Dan Graziano's breaking stories all morning long. Sacho is here. Rob Ninkovich, his first time ever in our studio. Delighted to have Mink here.
Yes.
And Ryan Clark is revved up and ready to go. We've got his tweets ready to go as we bring you the sights and sounds, and dare I say the smells, of the first game of the NFL season last night. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers at home. They raised the banner amidst the celebration of last year's Super Bowl championship and the visitors, Dak Prescott, and the storylines abound around him. Last time he played, we all know what happened last October. Pick it up. Second series for the Bucs. It's Brady's offense. And Sacho, it's Antonio Brown getting in the action early.
Absolutely. He averaged 24.2 yards a catch. They were in mid-season form.
Yes, including Chris Godwin. Godwin had 9 catches, 105 yards, and that's the first touchdown of the NFL season. Bucs up 7-0. So, if that was the question, how would Dak provide an answer? He would. CeeDee Lamb.
Yes, CeeDee Lamb was phenomenal. 7 catches for 104 yards. He played great.
Game tied at 7 after 1 as he would blow by Sean Murphy bunting. Second quarter now. Brady and the Bucs inside the 5. And old reliable, here comes Gronk.
Yes, I got 99 problems. Catch the touchdown is not one. That was their 99th connection.
Bucs up 14-7. And then this is where the Dallas defense would step up. Brady, Rojo puts it on the ground. DeMarcus Lawrence punching the football out. So Dallas in business, and Dak would take advantage. 2nd and 3 in the red zone. What a night Amari Cooper had.
Yes, box snap. Dak picked it up, threw it to Amari. Amari had a phenomenal game. 13 catches. He played great.
139 yards. Cowboys missed the PAT. So it's 14-13 Tampa after a turnover and a Dallas field goal. Bucs down 2, but Brady responding. Antonio Brown, this one's deep.
AB once again. Look at the way he looked that ball in. Hands, eyes, everything all together. AB all day.
Brady, 213 yards, 3 touchdowns in the first half. Bucs up 5. Early 3rd. Dallas down 2. Prescott again. Colton Davis with the pick.
Yes, should have been caught. It went right through CD's hands, but tips and overthrows. DB's got to get those.
Carlton Davis, the other CD, making the catch after CD Lamb lets it get through his hands. And so Brady and the Bucs, 3rd and 6 from the 11. How about 100 touchdowns to Rob Gronkowski?
Yes, what a connection. Get used to it. Rob Gronkowski, once again, zero pressure, got a touchdown.
Tampa up 28-19, but Dallas would respond on their very next drive, 3rd and 4. Dak, 3 touchdown passes on the night. That one to Cooper, it's 28-26. On to the 4th we go. Same score, Brady and the Bucs in the red zone. And here's a big play in the game. The turnovers kept Dallas in it.
Yes, and I call them takeaways. Turnovers are a dessert. Takeaways are what the Dallas Cowboys did tonight. They took the ball away 4 times. Phenomenal.
And that was kept them in the game. 2 minutes left in the 4th. Dak again down those 2. Prescott with a short pass to C.D. Lamb was going to turn it into a long game. That's what these Cowboy receivers can do. A 31-yard gain puts the Cowboys in business. Minute and a half left. They bring in Greg Zuerlein. Not a good night for him. He had missed 2 field goals and an extra point. A 48-yarder, Jerry Jones. You got to knock this one down the middle for me, kid. And that he does. Zuerlein is good. Dallas by 1. 29-28. Celebration on one side, but look at the look on Brady's face. He knows what's to come. Just under 50 seconds left, and how about this drive? Brady, Gronk, 8 catches on the night for him. They're moving. Couple plays later. Sacho, here's the big play of the game. It's going to be Brady to Godwin, a 24-yard play. Should this be OPI?
I don't think it should be OPI. It wasn't called. Obviously, this is the play that changed the game. Could be called either way. I don't think it was OPI.
We will debate it again. You see the extension of the arm by Godwin, maybe a little acting. We'll see one way or another. Not called, and that leads to this. Ryan Succop from 36 yards, and it's good. Tampa wins a thriller in the opener, 31-29. Dak, 403 yards and 3 touchdowns. Brady, 379 and 4. The champs are 1-0.
A lot of games come down to 2 minutes on both sides of the football. Came down to the offense tonight. We needed to get out there and do something for the team to help us win, and we got to put ourselves in a position, and then Ryan made the kick. So that makes it really good when the ball goes through the uprights.
Being down in the game 2 points and knowing that you're going to have an opportunity to go back out there and play,
just that resiliency. Missed that feeling that sparked up in me and the fire that it had. There wasn't a part of this game or a moment that I took for granted.
What a night it was in every conceivable way. And Ryan Clark, I'll start with you. All week long, we have, most of us here, and certainly me, thought this was going to be a one-sided game. And so I guess I would ask you, while there are no moral victories in professional sports, did last night feel like one for the Cowboys?
Absolutely not, Greeny. I mean, this is the reason you're a Hall of Fame host and you weren't a Hall of Fame quarterback. It's because you believe in moral victories. Moral victories are for losers and monks. That's it. That's the only people who look at those things that way. But when you look at this game from the Dallas Cowboys perspective, the thing you leave the field feeling is that you have the best quarterback in football right now, at least through game one, because he was better than Tom Brady. And Tom Brady was absolutely phenomenal, but Dak Prescott answered every single question that we had of him. Is the ankle healthy? Is the shoulder healthy? Think about Kellen Moore preparing for this game. The last time you saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, they were making Patrick Mahomes run 500 yards before passing the ball, and he was throwing the ball parallel to the ground. He dropped back Dak Prescott 62 times, which is the most in his career. I mean, that was more drop backs than an elite yoga instructor, and he played exceptionally well. The one interception was the CeeDee Lamb drop. Yes, it was a drop on a dig route. And so when you think about Dak Prescott putting his team in position to win this game, Tom Brady doing what Tom Brady does, and that's why Tampa Bay won. But if you're Kellen Moore, if you're Mike McCarthy, you know that your quarterback is back, and you know that he's the best player on the team, if not the best player on the field last night.
You know, Nick, we spent the last 6 weeks, you and I, talking about this injury to Dak. He didn't get a chance to get himself reacclimated. Everything working against him, up to and including the fact that the first time they get the ball, he's inside his own 5-yard line. What do you say about the guts of that performance last night?
He's my new favorite quarterback in the NFL right now. Listen, I need to go to the nearest pro shop and get a number 4 jersey. I'm telling you, and I'll rock it, because what he did last night for me was so impressive. I was at the local pub down the street all by myself. You know, I asked for one menu. They said, oh, by yourself? I said, yeah. By myself. So I was in there screaming, great throw, great throw, oh, good throw. And he continued to impress me. He was making throw after throw after throw, and he was calm, collected, confident. And I had said previously that maybe the injury, I guess I was the only one crying after my injury when I got back on the field, because he went out there, didn't act like he had any injury whatsoever, didn't act like he didn't have any preseason reps, didn't act like he didn't take any snaps in the camp, training camp. And he went out there and performed, threw for 403 yards, MVP.
Yeah, I mean, if you watched Hard Knocks, you can now see why Trevon Diggs' son mixed him up with Patrick Mahomes, right? I mean, he was that good last night. Yeah, this is, you know, to RC's point, there's a lot going on. First of all, next time, call. I was just a block away, and we can hang out, but you don't have to be by yourself watching a game. But look, this is everything they told us about Dak all training camp was true, right? We were like, oh, are they messing with us? Are they underplaying this? The shoulder looked good. The ankle looked good. He looked like he didn't miss a beat. Just the same quarterback we saw for the first 5-6 weeks last year, and the Cowboys have every reason to be excited about him.
I mean, Dak Prescott was a star in the National Football League before this game was played. Am I the only one who feels as though he was elevated last night, Sam Acho? There was just something. He took it to another level last night that, candidly, a lot of people might not have known he had.
Yeah, well, there's a physical toughness aspect that everyone understands. Can he come back from a leg injury, from a shoulder? But the mental toughness that Dak Prescott showed. I mean, there was an RPO, a zone read in the red zone, where he got injured last time around. And he kept the ball, and that was bold. Like, he made some bold moves, not to mention the throws that he made. Dak Prescott was everything that we expected and more. He was confident. He was calm. He was cool. And he made every single throw. And the fact that he was running the ball around after breaking a leg, I mean, like, what more do you want from your star quarterback?
Yeah, it was, again, if there are no moral victories, I will accept that. But anyone who tells me that Dak Prescott walked off that field last night a loser is going to get an argument from me. In the meantime, RC, oh, by the way, Tom Brady was 32 of 50 for 379 yards and 4 touchdowns. Yeah. What do we take away with all the conversation here about could they have a perfect season? Could he have his best season? What did you see for game one?
I mean, you saw Tom Brady be exactly who he's always been. He was calm. He was poised. He made every single throw that he needed to make and every single adjustment. I think back, and I know bringing up this guy is going to make some people be like, oh, don't you ever compare Cam Newton to Tom Brady. But I think back to Cam Newton in the year that he won the MVP, and they're playing the New York Giants, and he has this towel around his head, and the New York Giants score, and Cam Newton, it's now become a GIF or a GIF or whatever you young people call it. He has this towel on his head, and he looks, and he shakes his head like that. You talked about the look that Tom Brady had on his face. That's the look of, I've done this a million times. I've been down. I've had to be in the 2 minute. I've come back from 28-3. And look at all the folks I have to throw the football to. What was interesting to me about last night is coming into Tom Brady being a Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we talked a lot about Mike Evans. We talked a ton about Chris Godwin. When you watch Tom Brady play, when he needs a play, it is Chris Godwin some of the time, but it's a lot of Antonio Brown. It's a lot of Rob Gronkowski. You can see that he is ultimately comfortable with everyone that's on the field with him, and Tom Brady excelled. This team won't be 17-0. Dan won't be saying that Tom Brady's going to break the record, but Patrick Mahomes going to lead in touchdowns, but this team will be playing for a Super Bowl once again.
A different Dan, but yeah. I think we know what he meant. Rob Ninkovich, that's your old teammate, right? Yep. In fact, both those guys, him and Gronk out there, and they do. They have found the fountain of youth. I mean, that man is 44 years old. He and Vinny Testaverde are now the only quarterbacks ever that age to win a single NFL game. He will have the record himself when they win their next one. What did you see from your old teammate?
Same old Tom, 44 years old. I better get on the TB12 diet and start eating avocados and all that stuff and hydrating my body weight in ounces, whatever that is. That'd be like 5 gallons a day. But anyway, I just think that when you look at Tom, he still got it. He still can make every throw. He still has command of the offense. He has the respect of everybody around him. And I'm telling you, when you're a defender and you go against Tom Brady, you see him across the field, you go, dang, that's Tom Brady. And I've been against Peyton Manning, and I said, man, that's Peyton Manning. I've been against Aaron Rodgers, I said, man, that's Aaron Rodgers, and Tom Brady still has that.
You know, Dan Graziano usually sends a lot of notes to our email chain. Last night, you only sent one note with three words. Too much time. They left him too much time.
And that's all. I mean, that's all. He's looking at the clock. He said, all right, well, we need to get to this yard. It's all automatic because he's done it so long. RC's point on Cam Newton. I was at that game. I covered the Giants that year. That was Cam Newton operating an incredible level of confidence. He knew he was going to win the game no matter how many points the other team scored. That's Tom Brady, but it's confidence built over two decades. I mean, that's amazing. Yeah. I think the only thing he's upset about right now is that Rob Ninkovich picked Dak Prescott instead of him to be his new favorite quarterback.
So and I've got we have all morning long to get into this, but I have three defensive players here. Let me just circle back quickly because it is still a big topic on social media. The offensive pass interference that isn't called on Chris Godwin. Again, Sacho, during the highlight, you said you do not believe, you don't have an issue with that not being called.
Yeah, I have no issue with that play not being called. Think about it. If the DB stays up, it's a no call. But obviously, he falls down. You call it a flop if you'd like to. But that play should not be called as a pass interference, especially during that point in the game.
Again, I have three defensive players. Ninko, should that be a penalty?
No, not a penalty, especially when the DB kind of flails his arms and tries to act that out. Usually, when you try to act something out, you want a call. You know, so I think that in that particular situation, a no call was a proper no call.
0 for 2. Ryan Clark.
First off, I don't believe that it should have been called. But, Nico, let's not act like the world has not evolved into the fact that people flop and that people flail around. And that every time Tom Brady hits the ground, he looks at the referee and he's like, because that's what the world is now. The reason it's not called is because it's a back shoulder play. He's spinning away from Jordan Lewis at the time. And Jordan does flail, but there is a little arm extension. But let's not get into a world where we can't get calls if we flop just because we play defense. But that one, I'll live with.
That's a perfect example of a call that either way it had gone, half the people were going to be enraged with the way the decision was made. We will see. All right, we're just getting started. We have all morning long to dive into this thriller. Coming up, the Cowboys offense had one big problem. Are Zeke's best days behind them? Can the Cowboys win without a running game? RC's all over it. Plus, it goes from bad to worse for Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. Two more season-ending injuries. Are the Ravens done? We're talking about it. Get up on ESPN. Come on, get up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more.
Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is brought to you by USAA Insurance, auto, renters, and home insurance.
Thursday night, starting the season off. I think this is what the NFL and the world needs.
There's a lot of big games, but the first biggest game of the year is Thursday night.
Touchdown Tampa Bay, the first of 2021.
Prescott's first touchdown since last October.
What an answer by Brady in the box.
Godwin fumbled the ball, recovered by Lewis in the end zone for the lead.
Cowboys take the lead by one. Back shoulder throw and he makes the snag on his hip. The kick by Suckup. It is good! How about them Buccaneers defending the Super Bowl championship?
Whatever it is you're hoping for last night, it was better, and it is time now for the first Explain Your Tweets of the 2021 NFL season from Ryan Clark. Here we go. RC's Twitter feed was active last night during the first game of the NFL season. Here's the first tweet. RC tweeted very simply, man, don't run, ever. RC, explain that tweet.
This is me to Dak Prescott, and right now, this is when I want to call Dominique Foxworth. I need to call Tad Prescott and say, hey, I need you to get a memo to Dak to never run the ball ever again in life. And you heard Acho early on, or Sacho, I guess we got to call him. He was saying, oh, he had an RPO, and he ran. Hell no, don't run. You are the best player on this team. We cannot afford for you to get hurt, and we saw what it looks like when you take out bacon and add turkey bacon to the Dallas Cowboys offense, which was Andy Dalton last year. It does not look or taste the same. So please, Dak, throw the ball away, slide, do not get touched.
I've missed these. The next one is about Antonio Brown. RC tweets, AB still bout that action. Dude is one of the best to ever do it. RC, explain that tweet.
I think sometimes we forget that for 6 years, Antonio Brown had the greatest run that we'd ever seen from any wide receiver. So last night, I'm sitting at Ruth Chris. I requested that I be sitting in front of a TV so I can tweet in case we have to do Explain Your Tweets. And I'm like, holy cow, Antonio Brown might be the best wide receiver that plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then you continue to look, and even with Amari Cooper, even with Gallup, even with CeeDee Lamb, he was maybe the best player or the best wide receiver on the field. This dude's getting reverses. He's getting hitching goals. He's probably going to end up having over 1,000 yards this year and a great resurgence for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That five catches for 121 yards last night. In the meantime, the one guy who is sort of missing in action is the subject of this last tweet. If I'm a 90 M's running back, I have to win there. It's me and the backup safety. If I can't beat him one-on-one in the open field, I might as well go back to Cabo. That has to be a TD. Go ahead, RC, explain that tweet.
Well, listen, as I was eating my salmon, that salmon without the L is silent, I'm looking at Dak, I'm looking at Zeke Elliott, and we get a quick pitch, right? It's an option, and he's one-on-one with a guy I've never heard of. Matter of fact, if you go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers depth chart online, Andrew Adams is not even listed. He went to UConn. UConn's coach just quit. They just lost to a D3 school. Their most famous alum is Dan Orlowski. You gotta make that play. You might as well be in Cabo if you can't make a one-on-one play in the open field with a backup safety who wasn't planning to be playing. I don't care how skinny you are. I don't care what diet you're on. It's about making plays. And 13 touches on 63 snaps with that low of production, that ain't worth $90 million.
I mean, let's live in that one for a moment there. Rob Ninkovich, can that be the formula that we thought the last night might be, especially as Dak sort of worked his way back in, which took him literally no time, that this was going to be a Zeke night at the beginning of a huge Zeke season? What we saw from them last night, is that a sustainable offensive approach?
Well, I think they came into this game wanting to show off Dak and how great he was, and his shoulder is fine, and look what he can do. And you have to understand that they were playing the Bucs, who are a great run-stopping defense. It's not like you're just going to run the ball down their throats and expect to run north-south against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So for me, I think that Zeke did a tremendous job of blocking. If you watch some of the clips on him picking up free runners, he did a great job of keeping Dak in the pocket and clean in the pocket. So again, if they have to change the one game plan up to put it all in Dak's hands, then they did that. So for me, okay, RC, I know you got your hand on your face. It's all good.
RC.
But guess what? At the end of the day, they paid him. They're going to use him. But in this game plan, you got to follow the money. Who did they want to go out there and perform?
Well,
the quarterback that they just paid, who's coming off an injury, who you got an offensive coordinator who's going to be a head coach one day. How do you become a head coach? You don't run the football over and over and over again. You got to have a passing game. Isn't that the NFL?
RC, what do you think? Why are we making that face?
One, because Matt LaFleur became a head coach running the football over and over again, and they were 27th or something like that in offense. So that's not true, Ninko. And I was actually, like, while you were talking, I was disgusted. But then I realized you were correct. You got to follow the money. And Zeke certainly got elite left tackle money. And so if we want to give him elite left tackle money, that's what we're going to do. We're going to make him a pass protector because that's what he is. And if that's how we're going to look at it, then fine. But if we gave him highest paid running back in the league money, we need to see him perform. And I don't care if it's 13 touches. I don't care if it's 3 touches. If I give you a one-on-one in the open field with a backup safety, you have to score. And he did not. And that's an issue. And we saw it all game. He needs to make plays.
Surely Ryan Clark is aware that the Cowboys will play 16 other games this season, right? I mean, this is – the Tampa Bay Buccaneers allowed 81 rushing yards a game last year. If the Cowboys had come in and said, we're going to run Zeke all night, we would be ripping Mike McCarthy and Kellen Moore for a lousy game plan that they had a 20-point loss. That game was going to be a throwing game. It was a throwing game both ways. Zeke's role in the game plan was to help protect Dak Prescott, which was a major, major aspect of it. He'll be fine.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, and because I am a body language expert, I don't think RC agrees. We'll take a quick break
16 more
on
games?
That thought. We have much more to come on this as we go. Dak already talking about a rematch with Brady in January. Whatever it is you thought of the Cowboys headed into last night, have you changed your mind? We'll ask that question, and we'll just try and keep RC together all morning long as we roll on. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Thousands affected by Hurricane Ida urgently need your support. Please donate if you can at redcross.org/ESPN to help the Red Cross respond to and help people recover from this disaster. All right, back on Get Up here on ESPN, and what a classic we had last night. In case you're just joining us, pick it up with the fourth quarter highlights of a thrilling opener between Tom Brady's Buccaneers and Dak Prescott's Cowboys. Crunch time, 2 minutes left for Dak. Down by two, Prescott, C.D. Lamb, big play, 31 yards. Lamb had a huge night. Cowboys in business. A minute and a half left. Greg Zuerlein had already missed two field goals and an extra point. But under the watchful eye of Jerry Jones, this 48-yarder is up and clutch and good. And Dallas up 29-28. But they left too much time on the clock for the GOAT. Look at the expression on the face of Tom Brady. He knew what he was going to do. Brady, Gronk. Gronk had two touchdown catches on the night and this big 20-yard gain to put them in business. And then the big play just moments later to Chris Godwin. This is the one we discussed off the top of the show. If you're just joining us, not one member of our crew here has an issue with that not being called offensive pass interference. You take another look. Is there a left arm extension? Yes, there is. Call could have gone either way. It doesn't draw the flag. And so Tampa sets up for this. Ryan Suck up a 36-yard game-winning field goal. And Tampa takes it 31-29 in an absolute classic. Dak Prescott threw for 403 yards and three touchdowns. Tom Brady threw for 379 yards and four touchdowns. And as we continue here with Sacho and Ryan Clark, and look who's in Ames, Iowa, and gets up with us early this morning. The one and only Desmond Howard is here. And Des, obviously, watching the game last night, give you the floor here this morning. What was your big takeaway from an absolute thriller with the Bucs and Cowboys last night?
Greeny, what an outstanding game. I mean, they had everything that you were looking for. First, we wanted to see how would Dak Prescott perform because, you know, he had the ankle injury and all the off-the-field stuff about his rehab and how is he going to be? Is he going to be sharp? Really didn't participate in the preseason. Dak Prescott looked really, really good early on, and it continued throughout the game. I was really surprised at how sharp he was. You know, he wasn't pressured a lot. And when he was pressured, he was able to move out the pocket and still keep his eyes down the field and throw some strikes. So, obviously, really, really impressed with Dak Prescott. Tom Brady is the GOAT. He does what Tom Brady do all the time. If you leave him 90 seconds or less, he's going to drive the ball down the field, either score a game-winning touchdown or set the special teams up for a game-winning field goal, which is what he did. So, my concerns would have been the turnovers. Too many turnovers for Tampa Bay, and Tom Brady talked about that after the game. They got some things they got to clean up. I mean, you're looking at a veteran team. Not only their Super Bowl champs, but they returned everybody from a year ago. So to go out there at home and make some of those mistakes, especially turn the ball over in the red zone, that would be something that I would be kind of concerned with moving forward for Tampa Bay.
Four turnovers on the night last night, including two interceptions from Brady. That said, I agree with you, and I think we all do, that the story of the night is the performance of Dak and the Cowboys. So, Ryan Clark, let me come to you. There was such mixed feeling on Dallas during this offseason. Some people have super high expectations. Many others did not. Did last night change anything that you thought of the Dallas Cowboys watching that performance?
Absolutely not. The Dallas Cowboys are who I thought they were going to be coming into this season, which is a team that can challenge the Washington football team to win the NFC East. And I think we see that and believe that more than ever, if we don't even think that they are a cut above. The question was always going to be, is Dak Prescott in this offense enough to be able to play against Washington? And when you look at last night, you think about two things. You think about Dak Prescott was as sharp as we've ever seen him. He's now, to me, going to be a top-tier quarterback this year. And Ty Smith and Lael Collins are elite at the tackle positions. When you're playing Shaq Barrett and you're playing JPP and you keep Dak Prescott as clean as you did for over 60 dropbacks, you know that you are elite on the outside with all of those skill players. It's going to be tough to beat Dallas within the East, and watching them in Washington do battle down the stretch is going to be extremely fun.
Sacho, did they change anything? The Cowboys, again, we all know what the Bucs are. The Bucs are the Bucs. They're the defending champs, and they're going to be great. Did the Cowboys change your perspective on anything last night?
Well, they did. It reaffirmed the fact that their defense will be more dominant than they were before. The defense was trash last year. They were hot garbage, 27th overall. But now with Dan Quinn, they played a lot better. And you think about it, they're playing Tom Brady. They're playing the greatest of all time, and they held their own. They forced four turnovers on a Tom Brady-led offense. And so that defense is going to be the difference. We all know about the offense and the weapons and the offensive line that's now healthy. But the defense was the question mark. I think those questions have been answered starting last night.
How about you, Dez? In whatever you had them in the pecking order, did they change your perspective last night on just how good they could be this year, the Cowboys?
They really did. I mean, I think they elevated their game, not only defensively, which was obvious because they were bad. Like Acho said, they were hot garbage. But offensively, the expectations with Dak Prescott, to me, he seemed more comfortable than I've ever seen him in a Dallas Cowboys uniform. He was decisive. He was accurate. Mm-hmm. I really like what I saw from their offense. One concern is, don't forget, like you said, Tampa turned the ball over four times, and Dallas still lost a close game. You have to be able to turn those turnovers into points. So that's a concern, too, for Dallas. On the road, Super Bowl champs, gave you four opportunities, and you still couldn't win the game.
Okay, while I have Desmond here, and again, I mentioned we will be pretty much wall-to-wall on this game from last night, but while I have Desmond, he's in Ames, Iowa. Iowa State is the game tomorrow, and they're going to be doing college game day there. But another monster game on the schedule tomorrow is Ohio State and Oregon. According to our All-State playoff predictor, Ohio State has the second best chance to make the college football playoff, only behind Alabama. Our FPI gives the Buckeyes an 88% chance to win tomorrow. And so, Des, let me just get a quick thought from you, if I can, on what is at stake in that game. What is your sense of Ohio State, Oregon, and what is at stake as we get set to see that one tomorrow?
Well, you know, as a Pac-12 team, Oregon comes in, to me, with the expectations of the whole conference on their shoulders. Don't forget, coming to the season, people thought Washington was a team that could potentially make the college football playoff. They lost a week ago to Montana. So now Oregon's on the big stage against a team that's been in the college football playoff the last few years in Ohio State. This is an opportunity for the Pac-12 to make a statement. That's what's at stake. They need one of those big non-conference games against a perennial powerhouse for the nation to see that they're back. So huge opportunity for Oregon tomorrow in the Shoe without Kayvon Thibodeau. He may play. If he played, don't forget, he got rolled up on a week ago, so his ankle is not going to be 100%. But the huge opportunity for the Oregon Ducks to make a statement in the Shoe against Ohio State tomorrow.
He's the pass rusher from Oregon who many people project to be the number one pick in next year's draft. Again, we'll be watching tomorrow morning and all day long. Desmond Howard, thank you for getting up. Outstanding to see you, as always, and we'll do more of this soon. A reminder, we got great college football coming your way tomorrow. How about this triple header on ABC? The game I mentioned, Iowa State in Ames, is 4:30 Eastern. Then Saturday night football, we've got Jim Harbaugh and Michigan hosting Washington. You can watch all the games as well on the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Meanwhile, let me get up and go while I have a moment here. Lots of other things going on in sports, including the Yankees being swept by the Blue Jays. Vlad Guerrero Jr., his 42nd home run of the year. Yankees lose their sixth straight, 6-4. They never led in the four-game series, and they're now only a half game up on Toronto for the final wildcard spot in the American League. Elsewhere, Lionel Messi scoring a hat trick in Argentina's 3-0 win over Bolivia in a World Cup qualifier. That gives Messi 79 career international goals, breaking Pelé's record for the most international goals ever scored by a South American man. And it will be a battle of unseeded teenagers in the U.S. Open Women's Final. Last night, 19-year-old Leila Fernandez beat her fourth consecutive ranked opponent, taking out the two-seed Aryna Sabalenka. Fernandez will face qualifier Emma Raducanu of Great Britain, who has not lost a set. And the U.S. Open continues today on ESPN and the app. The men's semis, you'll see Novak Djokovic continuing his quest for the calendar slam. Watch every point streaming live on ESPN+. Coming up, it has gone from bad to worse for Lamar in Baltimore. Two more season-ending injuries. Are the playoff hopes slipping away before the season even begins? We'll answer that question next.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All Okay, so that was last night. We are less than an hour away from getting Stephen A's reaction to the Cowboys' loss last night. You'll hear his words of advice coming up in our next hour right here on Get Up. And in case you're not aware of why Stephen A was laughing, here's your morning wake-up call, the Bucks, an instant classic.
Far side hash by Ryan Succop to win it. Good snap, the spot. Here's the kick by Succop. Is it good? It is good! Box win! Box win! Box win! We beat the Cowboys 31-29. How about them Buccaneers defending the Super Bowl championship?
An absolutely great night last night to kick off the season. And with that win, Tom Brady improving to 6-0 all time against the Dallas Cowboys, which breaks a tie with Joe Montana, who was his childhood idol, for the best record all time against Dallas, including the playoffs, by any starting quarterback. Okay, it is not an overreaction to say that that was an extraordinary start to the NFL season, but it is time for Overreaction Friday, in which Dan Graziano, I'm going to make some statements here, and Dan will tell me whether or not it is an overreaction. Let's start with this. Despite that performance last night by Dallas, Washington remains the favorite to win the NFC East. Is that an overreaction?
I think it is an overreaction. I think we have to see Washington do this before we really do believe it. Division champions last year, yes, but 7-9. No one repeats in the NFC East. And look, Ryan Fitzpatrick has never played in a playoff game. He's played 16 years in the NFL. Ron Rivera's got 3 winning seasons in 10 years as a head coach. A lot of faith being put in a lot of guys that haven't done much winning. We have to see it before we believe it in Washington.
Yes, a lot of people like myself who picked Washington to win the division, impressed by what we saw from Dallas last night. The next one, if I said T.J. Watt, who signs the monster extension yesterday, is going to be the defensive player of the year, is that an overreaction?
It's not an overreaction. This guy averages 14 sacks a season over the last 3 years, led the league in sacks last year. He is a dominant player off the edge. That's why he got the money. And don't underestimate this. His older brother is constantly ripping on him for not having won defensive player of the year yet. That is motivation. I think he's got a real good shot.
Yeah, the Watt brothers are in hot pursuit of the Manning brothers as the richest brothers in NFL history. All right, one more for you, and that is the Browns. If I were to say the Browns are a heavy favorite to win the AFC North, would that be an overreaction?
I don't think it is at this point. Look, and again, I know what I just said about Washington and not having won yet, and you're talking about Pittsburgh and Baltimore that win all the time. I get it. We're looking at, on paper, the way the rosters are built right now, Cleveland's looks like the best in the AFC North. We'll see it when they get on the field, but on paper, I think they deserve to be the favorites in that division.
Yeah, we'll see what the Steelers are, with so many people forecasting doom for them. But the primary reason why Cleveland might be in the driver's seat involves what has just been a disastrous 6 weeks for the Baltimore Ravens, where the bad news just keeps on coming. Yesterday, Baltimore losing running back Gus Edwards and cornerback Marcus Peters for the season, both to torn ACLs. Edwards is the third running back that they lose before the season even begins. To call this a streak of remarkable bad luck is almost not telling the story. Since August 21st, they've lost 5 players to season-ending injuries, 4 of them with torn ACLs. And you see the names on your screen. These are people they're counting on in enormous ways. J.K. Dobbins was projected to have a huge year. Gus Edwards was supposed to be the guy who picked up all of that slack. Marcus Peters, a critical part of that defense. And, you know, sometimes I've made the remark that every year there is a team or two that has their season just irreparably ruined by injury, and there's just no way to predict who it's going to be. Is it the Ravens this year? Can they overcome all of this?
Yeah, they can, because they have Lamar. But at the end of the day, when you start to lose that many people that are key, especially running the football, and then it puts more pressure on the quarterback. He already has pressure on him. So now, how many more hits is he going to take? Because he's going to have to take up some of that slack of the running game. And how many big plays is he going to have to make and put everything on his shoulders? So it's definitely concerning for me. The one thing that's concerning is the ACL tears. I don't know if they need somebody to come look at the turf or what's going on with their practice facility or what's going on with the training. But to have that many ACL injuries, I mean, that's rare.
Yeah, the Dobbins injury came in a game. These other ones coming in practice. But either way, it's a disaster. So, Sacho, let's focus in on what this means for the quarterback. This was going to be the year where Baltimore expanded the passing offense, and then all their receivers got hurt. It was going to be the year where they leaned a lot on these running backs, especially J.K. Dobbins. Now they're all hurt. What is Lamar Jackson going to have to do to elevate this team?
Yeah, well, Lamar is going to have to be Lamar. And being Lamar means going back to that 2019 MVP Lamar. Now, will this hurt the team? Yes, some of your top players are out. But this team, the Baltimore Ravens have a lot of depth. Like Anthony Averett at corner, he can come in and replace, to a certain extent, Marcus Peters. Obviously, your top three running backs are out. But you have depth at that position. And so the Ravens aren't going to be what we expected them to be, but they always find a way to win. And so I don't see them as a team where you say, oh, they're out because of all these injuries. They're going to figure it out. Will Lamar Jackson have more pressure? Quote unquote, yes, but you've got backs who can do the job, and Le'Veon Bell and otherwise.
They're built to run the ball, and I think once they get guys up to speed that haven't been in the system, that they'll be okay at running back. They do like the young guy, Tyson Williams, who's now effectively the starter by default. The Marcus Peters injury matters a lot because that they've been counting on that defense to be dominant. And part of the reason is that secondary, and he is a unique player in terms of what he does, his nose for the ball, his ability to make those plays. He's not as easily replaceable as just elevating the next guy up. So I think that one really shook him up. Overall, they're very shaken up. Obviously, they're in shock that this is happening. It just doesn't feel real that there could be two more ACL injuries in Baltimore yesterday.
And you hate to even, in a moment where all these serious injuries are happening, to even bring up something as comparatively trivial as fantasy considerations, but boy, Lamar Jackson feels like he's going to have to do it all by himself, right? I mean, it feels like Lamar Jackson, I don't know if it's an exaggeration to say Lamar Jackson could lead the NFL in rushing this year. He's a quarterback. Is that something that you think is a reasonable or a realistic possibility?
Yeah, because he's so talented. I mean, look, we've seen him. He was the MVP, and the things that he's able to do with the football in his hands. My biggest concern, I said prior to this season, was the amount of contact that he has to take when he's running the football. He's like a running back, but he also has to throw the ball. So it only takes one ding or a little shoulder or a finger to affect how you throw the football. So as a quarterback, that's what's concerning because he has to be able to throw the ball down the field, but he's also a running back.
Yeah, but Lamar has led the NFL in rushing average for the last two seasons, and so we know he can run the ball.
Yep.
But I really don't think that the Ravens' game plan is going to deviate too much from what they were before. I don't think there's going to be more pressure on Lamar Jackson. Once again, you've got young running backs who you like. You've got Le'Veon Bell who you like. And so I think that the game plan will be the game plan. Defensively, losing Marcus Peters hurts, but this is what football is. It's next man up. And Anthony Averett is that next man up. He was a top 50 corner, according to Pro Football Focus. He's going to shine.
We'll see. That's an optimistic viewpoint of it, and I get it. And yes, you certainly give the benefit of the doubt to the coaching staff there and to the quarterback there. But boy, that is a lot to have to overcome. In the meantime, a reminder that football is back on DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. This Sunday only, new players can play free for a $1 million top prize when you make your first deposit. Download the DraftKings app and sign up with the code GETUP. And so with that thought in mind, let's figure out who's going to have the big numbers this weekend as you consider making your DraftKings picks. Sacho, I'll start with you. More or less than two touchdown passes in his debut for Trevor Lawrence?
I'm going more. He's playing against the Texans. The Texans are not a good football team. Trevor Lawrence will probably have three or maybe even four touchdown passes in his debut.
All right, let's get then to Zach Wilson, who I'll be watching with an eager eye. Graziano, more or less than 1.5 interceptions for Zach Wilson?
I'm going to go with more. I think Zach Wilson's going to play well this year and in this game, but I think two interceptions, not crazy to think about. Carolina's defense, Brian Burns in that pass rush, that could be a strength of that team, and I think they'll get after Zach Wilson in his first game, maybe rattle him into a couple of picks.
Ninko, how about this one on Mac Jones? More or less 1.5 touchdown passes for the Patriots rookie?
I'm going more on this one. And look, they're built to run the football, and they brought in two big-time tight ends. And that is perfectly set up for play-action pass with a young quarterback to take advantage of his skill sets and use the tight ends because they paid him the money. I can expect to see the red zone, especially them using the tight ends.
All right, we will see. Again, I look forward to the first big weekend here in the NFL. We'll get back to the big game from last night in just a matter of moments, and I'll make sure that you're aware we have an enormous lineup for you this weekend and Monday, beginning tomorrow, the U.S. Open Women's Final on ESPN. Saturday Night Football, ABC, Washington against Michigan. The men's final at the Open is Sunday on ESPN, and our Monday Night Football Week 1 matchup, Ravens in Vegas taking on the Raiders. Peyton and Eli will be on ESPN2, and everything is always available on the ESPN app, one app, one tap.
Coming up, back to the Cowboys and Buccaneers, an opening night thriller. Are Brady and Dak about to torch the entire NFL? We're all over it all morning long as we continue, and Ryan Clark rejoins the party in just a moment as well. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.